Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. Off and running on a week where we will be in Las Vegas Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday doing this fine program from the MGM Grand at the Pac-12 basketball tournament. Very much looking forward to that. The start of NFL free agency is supposed to be tomorrow, and the NFL today had to warn all 32 teams that you're not supposed to be talking about contract leaks. I don't know. You can't shut agents up. Agents are leaking everything. Twitter is ablaze today. This is a perfect day to have Twitter in front of you because it's like 10 seconds followed by 10 seconds followed by this happened, that happened, this happened. And you can't run with this stuff depending upon who's leaking it out. So there's a lot going on today. It's a busy, busy Monday. 20 years ago today, I was at the Breakers Resort in Palm Beach, Florida, sitting with Jerry Colangelo 20 years ago today. And he said to me, I don't know if we're going to have a pro baseball team. I've got to share that story. It's a 20-year to the day birthday of the Diamondbacks. Pretty cool. Steph Curry is in the Valley tonight. You can make the argument in the NBA world this year that Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, that Curry is the MVP. Most people would say, no, he's not. He's a really good player. Have you seen the numbers that Russell Westbrook has been putting up even over this weekend? It's crazy what he's doing. Absolutely crazy numbers. I like numbers that Magic Johnson did last. And you look at Russell Westbrook and James Harden and LeBron James, and then you have Steph Curry, and there's your four MVP candidates for the year. Steph Curry came within a few hours of being a member of the Phoenix Suns. Steve Kerr was the guy trying to bring him to Phoenix. How did it go wrong? I'm going to go into that story as the show moves along today. An Arizona Cardinals starting defense player, a key player on the Cardinals defense, was arrested this morning. I got to get into that. And the Cardinals are making a big signing in free agency. So there's just a ton happening. Let's get you caught up with what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino. Our friend Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist, will join me in about 20 minutes. News and notes, as she does every Monday with the one and only Paula Bovin, who I will see in Vegas as well. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, brings you this segment and what's going on in the world of sports. The Honda Resort and Casino, it is now spring break. Kids are out. That means you can take the family up, head up to the high country, go skiing at the Sunrise Ski Resort, or just you and your significant other or your potential significant other, or just you and the fellas. Head up and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. Stay at the resort. It's a great place to hang out, enjoy the time, eat some great food, have some fun, pull down on the slots, terrific entertainment. It's all there for you at the Honda Resort and Casino, and then go up to Sunrise and take on that snow, take on the mountain, take on the sledding, and have a great time there. Do it all for a couple of days and enjoy yourself at the Honda Resort and Casino. Don't even wait for the weekend. Just head on up to the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino. I guess I've got to start with free agency in the NFL. There's just too much happening today. But the Cardinals are going to get linebacker Sean Witherspoon. It looks as though that's the person that they're going to sign tomorrow to address one of their linebacking needs. And I say one of them because there's some other shoes to fall on that front. The bigger story, I think, today is what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. So Jacksonville has been in negotiations with DeMarco Murray and the Dallas Cowboys. The Jaguars have been in negotiations for Murray. If he leaves, what are the Cowboys' plans at running back? And do they squarely focus in on Adrian Peterson? Is it still the Indianapolis Colts, Arizona Cardinals, and Dallas Cowboys? Or, given what's happened here on the free agent front, okay, where Shady McCoy goes over to Buffalo, C.J. Spiller's sitting around out there, Frank Gore goes to Philadelphia. That's right, the 49ers have lost Frank Gore. Do the Cardinals look in the direction where the dominoes may fall? C.J. Spiller, where does he end up? What direction does Dallas go at running back if Murray leaves? Do I think that there's something there with Adrian Peterson? I have said throughout, yeah, I think the Cardinals have a shot. It seems to me that Adrian Peterson is probably needing to have the biggest paycheck available to him, given the legal stuff, where he is at in his career, running back, throw the money all together. Can he make more money anywhere else than Minnesota? And the answer from my view is no. So the Cardinals, while they're there right now, what happens if Minnesota says this isn't going to work out and the Cowboys go a different direction? It seems to me then it'd be the Colts and the Cardinals. And I think that Larry Fitzgerald is part of, and you'll say, yeah, you're reaching. No, I'm not. I think behind the scenes, there's something going on there. And I'll go back to what Carson Palmer said last week. I'm really excited of what we're going to do next week in free agency. When you have somebody that says that, they know that there's some things that are coming down the line that are going to help him out. Otherwise, he would not have given money back. Thursday, I was off Friday, but Thursday I asked him directly about giving money back. And he said, yeah, I did. So there's some things there that you add up and you say, wow, could they be possibly putting things together to make the best possible pitch after Adrian Peterson? And let's see where all the other dominoes fall. Beyond that, today in the NFC West, if you're a Cardinal fan, you have to feel pretty good about what's going on in San Francisco. Patrick Willis retires. Frank Gore is gone. He's going to Philadelphia. And this once vaunted 49er team, now there's even reports in the Bay Area that Colin Kaepernick could be traded. They're not happy with Colin Kaepernick. So a franchise that looked like they were really stable a couple of years ago now is starting to fall apart. And yeah, it's early in free agency. Let's see how all of this shakes out. But for the Cardinals, just don't crap the bed. Build some depth. Find that running back. Whoever is it going to be in the draft? If they don't have a running back a week from now, then it's got to be in the draft. You can still make a trade, but that's really interesting to see what's going on in the NFC West. Really interesting. Alex Okafor was arrested today. Cardinal Alex Okafor played in Texas, was charged with evading arrest. He also had a warrant out for his arrest on a previous Class C misdemeanor charge. So Alex Okafor gets arrested this morning at 2 a.m. They don't have additional information on the disturbance that led to the police involvement. Okafor had 8 sacks in 13 games last season for the Cardinals.
So 2 a.m., out in the street.
Austin.
Doesn't want to get out of the street. 2 in the morning.
6th and Trinity Streets.
Okay.
Arrested and charged.
Okay.
He had a warrant out for a previous Class C misdemeanor.
Oh, great.
Okay, this is one of those, we don't know what the previous problem was with Alex. Go find the police report and all that stuff. So there's some bad news if you're a Cardinal fan today on that front. Good news, Weatherspoon. Bad news, Okafor. Good news, what's going on in San Francisco. Ndamukong Suh going to Miami. So Ndamukong Suh, supposedly the dirtiest player in the NFL, right? Supposedly. He's going to get $60 million guaranteed. You can be as dirty as you want, but if you can play, we're going to pay you $60 million guaranteed. Yikes. So there's a lot of NFL stuff going on. Steph Curry is in town tonight. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on, how Steph Curry really is the front and the end of why the Suns have been in this rut, why they've been a franchise that's been a disaster, and a lot of it is tied to Steph Curry on one fateful day and 24 hours later. I'll get into that a little bit later on because you can point to him and what happened as to why this franchise can't get it turned around. Saturday, I went over to the ASU-Stanford game, or ASU-Cal game, I should say, and ASU was fine. They won the game, and Cal's not anything great. But you look at the Pac-12 tournament this week, and we'll talk about this a little bit later with Paula because she'll be in Vegas too. ASU's got a road here, guys, that's not a bad road. And they've played better here in the last couple of weeks. Not great, okay? They've played better outside of the Utah game. Understand the Utah game was just a disaster. But they open with SC. SC's not good. Worst team in the conference. And then they have UCLA in the next round. They beat UCLA when they played them. I think they match up well with UCLA. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to win the Pac-12 tournament. On the flip side of that, U of A's got ASU on their side of the bracket. They do not have a difficult bracket. U of A does not have a difficult path to roll right through the Pac-12 tournament. And if some things break their way, that they could end up being a number one seed. If some things break their way. The conference this morning announced that Stanley Johnson's the freshman of the year. Congratulations on your 1 year. You're not going to be here next year. You're freshman of the year. See you later. Joseph Young of Oregon was announced the player of the year. Gary Payton, the defensive player of the year. And I agree with that. Dana Altman at Oregon, the coach of the year. Nothing there with ASU, but all that stuff came down today. So again, Wednesday, ASU 2:30. If you've never been to Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament, we sit here the last 3 years, we've traveled to a lot of places. We've been to a lot of events. By far, the Pac-12 tournament is the best of the best. It's even better than March Madness from this regard. You're at the MGM. You're not at some little hole in the wall. And you walk in and there's no reason for you to walk out. Guys, if you've ever wanted to get a wild hair, and it's really not that wild. It's a cheap flight to Vegas or drive up there. You could be there Wednesday and it's just watching ball. You got shorts, t-shirt, ball cap backwards, big, nice, frosty drink, and you go lay down bets on the game, and you don't even have to walk out of there. It's awesome.
There was a stretch when I covered the event 2 or 3 years ago where I believe I left the MGM twice in, like, almost 4 days. There's just no reason to. We stayed there. The games were there. We ate there. We hung out there.
Yeah.
And went out on the strip maybe once, but at night, there are games. I mean, there are tons of games. There are games all day long, especially early in the week. So go up there, like you said. There's a game that starts around noon, and you'll probably leave the MGM Grand Garden Arena at around 10:30 that night.
Well, and I'm going to do stuff around Mayweather Pacquiao, too, because we're going to be up there. And the fight's in May, and I've already talked to the MGM guys about it, that we want to do some things around the fight, too. So it's not even just it's going to be a lot of hoops. On the site, there'll be some stuff, okay? But if you check out our site, sports360az.com, it's Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Things you're not going to see much of in other places with some context, a little bit longer form written, chasing down some guys, some names from years gone by. Things that we see on the recruiting front, there's plenty of content there as well. On the other side, so Golden State is here tonight to meet the Phoenix Suns. And how is it that Steph Curry is tied to why the Suns are still a team that can't seem to find their way into the playoffs? I'll explain how close he came to the Suns on the other side. Some other things on my mind before we get to Paul at the bottom of the hour. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
So Golden State is here tonight. There's a couple of things on this date in sports history that I could tie in. The Diamondbacks 20 years ago today were awarded the franchise down in Florida, and there's a couple of storylines there I'll bring up later in the show. But Steph Curry is here tonight. The Suns, Golden State really has become AKA Suns West. There's just too many tie-ins. It's kind of like when Wiz was here and all the Steeler angles happened, all the Steeler players, there was all this Steeler connection around the Cardinals when Ken Wisenhunt was here. Same thing has happened with Golden State because of players and front office people leaving. Steve Kerr is coaching the Warriors tonight against the Suns. Warriors played yesterday, back-to-back, but they played a day game. I want to see Golden State at their best tonight. Steph Curry is the MVP, I think, out West this year. You could make the argument Westbrook. You can make the argument Harden. Westbrook has been really good. I mean, Westbrook's been really good. But Steph Curry, the job that he's done this year, along with Thompson, they've been terrific. And they're easily the team with the most energy, fun to watch, back and forth. They've revitalized the Bay Area. It's a franchise that players want to go to and play for. Steve Kerr could have been coaching the New York Knicks this year. And it would have been an absolute train wreck. If you remember back when Kerr left the Suns, went and did the TV stuff, he talked earlier this year about how he kept a journal over the last couple of years, kind of a manifesto of what he wanted to do, what he wanted to accomplish when he was a head coach. He decided to go to Golden State and be reunited with Steph Curry. I say reunited because Kerr, when he was running the Suns, wanted Steph Curry here in Phoenix in the worst way. In fact, as the story was explained to me, the Suns thought they had a deal done where Amari Stoudemire, who had 1 year left on his contract at the time, this was 2009 draft, 1 year left on his contract at the time, the Suns were going to move Amari to Golden State. And Golden State, if they were able to draft Steph Curry, they would send Curry here. I don't remember. I could look this up. Or Eric, you could look it up. I think it was Johnny Flynn. Minnesota, with the sixth pick, took Johnny Flynn, a guard out of Syracuse. And that left Curry sitting there. Like the 2000, that draft that year, Curry fell all the way down to number seven, which shows you the ineptitude of a lot of these franchises when they go draft guys that can't play dead. And Kerr loved Curry. Kerr loved Steph Curry. And so from my understanding, the night that Curry was drafted by Golden State, the Suns war room actually broke into applause because they felt as though they had the deal done where Curry was going to be traded to the Suns and Amari was going to go up there. There was already concern about Amari's knees, his creaky knees, and that with 1 year left on his deal, that it was time to retool a little bit, and you put Curry and Steve Nash together in the same backcourt, and you would have been just fine. Don Nelson was running the Warriors at the time. The day after, Don Nelson was like, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to do that. Nelly was being Nelly. And Curry, there was talk that Curry could have been traded to a couple different destinations around the league. The Suns were waiting on the Amari deal. It didn't happen. The Warriors decided to keep Steph Curry. I admire what the Suns were able to do on the Amari front where they said, no, we're not going to pay you long-term. Get out of here. As much as I liked Amari, he was at the end of his run. But you could certainly make the argument that if the Curry deal had gone down, the transition of when Nash left, which we've been sitting here for the last 4 years, has been just brutal, has just been painful, where the organization has been stuck, where they've made horrendous decisions in their front office. They've made horrendous decisions when it comes to personnel. I'll give them credit, but Kerr was the one that had the vision that Curry was going to be terrific. So tonight, Steve Kerr should get cheered. There's no reason to boo Steve Kerr unless you're one of these ASU guys that gets all wound up that he went to U of A. Who cares? Kerr now has a team that is set up for a long run of success. Kerr didn't like what was going down with Robert Sarver, and Kerr decided to leave the organization. And since Steve Kerr left the Suns, and I don't know if he would have been a great general manager. I can't tell you that for certain. But he had the vision of Curry going to be a terrific player. So tonight when they go on the floor, to me it's on this day, it's here's the team that had it figured out, Golden State. They hired Rick Welts away from the Suns. Rick Welts was as good a team president, as good an executive as any organization in town that I've dealt with. Anybody. I mean, he's right there with Jerry through the years. And he's running the Warriors and he's running them well. You look at some of the other moves that they've made. Who is Steve Kerr's lead assistant? It's Alvin Gentry. The great Alvin Gentry, who did a terrific job here with the Suns in adverse situation. So it's all tied back to Steph Curry. That's going on tonight. The other story on this day is the Diamondbacks, the 20-year anniversary of the franchise being awarded. The franchise was granted on March 9th, 1995 in Palm Beach, Florida. And I did this show there in the lobby that day. I actually remember interviewing Marge Schott to kill some time, which is just dreadful. But it went down like this. So the Diamondbacks were a few hours away from not happening. Jerry Colangelo was at the Breakers Resort. I'm in the hotel lobby of the Breakers Resort. I'm sitting there doing this show, just minding my own business, having baseball people come by. It's supposed to be an exciting time. Colangelo comes out of an elevator. I wave him over. puts on the headphones, sits down. I said, how's it going? He says, not good. I said, what do you mean not good? He said, well, things are changing. I can't really go into specifics, but the number on the price tag for the franchise has grown. What happened is the owners on this day in the morning jacked the number up for the franchise fee that the Diamondbacks, well, the baseball team, I won't say the Diamondbacks, they didn't have the name yet, were supposed to pay to Major League Baseball. And so there was a span of about, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours where there was not going to be Major League Baseball here in Arizona. Whether that was good, whether that was bad, you can all have your arguments about it. In my view, it would have been a train wreck of a day because they'd come so far, and having baseball here would be such a big, big deal. And it still is, even though the team hasn't been good the last few years. But I'll never forget that day where we're in the lobby, and there's, I don't know, there's probably a handful of local guys that are still on television here, and myself. And I've never seen Colangelo as down about a situation as he was on that day. On that day, he sounded like a guy that was defeated and beaten into the ground. Like, I don't know how I'm going to go find more money to make this happen. But he went out, and team president Rich Dozier was there with him. And I remember our suite was right next door to the Diamondbacks war room. So we're right next door to Colangelo and Dozier. And we hear them through the wall. It's really thin walls here. And this is not breaking journalism. But the walls were really thin. And you could hear them say through the walls, we'll announce the name Diamondbacks later tonight, that the name of the team will be Diamondbacks. So you could hear it through the wall. There was a naming contest. There's all sorts of stuff. And this was not a day and age where there was social media. There was no Twitter. There was none of that. But it was loud and clear and it was Rich that I could hear say, we're going to call the Diamondbacks, we'll announce the team as Diamondbacks, and we'll do all that tonight. So in a span of about 8 to 10 hours, Jerry had to go out and raise more money. If he doesn't go out and raise the money, there is not a Major League Baseball team here. Yesterday, they set an all-time attendance record for a spring training game. They had almost 13,000 people yesterday out on the berm and within the stadium at Salt River Fields for a game against the Giants. Trumbo hit a home run. Daniel Hudson had 2 shutout innings. The bottom line is the sweat that went into 20 years ago today to make this happen. It's very, very cool when you think back on it. First of all, it's been like a blip for me. That's one of those things that happened in my broadcast career, is to see the granting of the franchise, A. B, everything that's gone on in the last 20 years where Jerry is pushed unceremoniously and unmercifully out the door 8 years after the franchise was put into play. Actually, 9 years after the franchise was put into play. And as much as I like Ken Kendrick personally, you can't sit here and tell me that the franchise has been in great shape the last 8-9 years. It just hasn't. It's been this ongoing train wreck. So it's been through its ups and downs. I want to see them do well. Yeah, there's a little part of me inside that's closer to the baseball franchise just because I saw it from day one and was with it back in 98 and all the way through 2002. But that was one of those really interesting days in Phoenix sports because I didn't think they were going to happen.
Speaking of day one, I know you remember this just like I did. One of the more interesting developments during that time after the announcement of the franchise was official was watching the ballpark take shape. Because I don't know what was there. What was there originally? Was it like a parking garage? Oh, it was a cotton field.
I remember going down there with Jerry, Joe Garagiola Jr., and some of the politicals in town. We took a can of spray paint and we went down there and we spray painted an outline of a diamond in the middle of the cotton field.
That's cool.
And just screwed around there one night. We just had our own little field of dreams.
It's just like this huge hole for the longest time, and it would be all like fenced off and no one could see anything because people would, when they're walking down to go see the Suns or the Rattlers or a concert or whatever, you'd walk by it and it was always, my friends would be like, there's no way they're going to get this ballpark built in fill in the blank 2 years or 1 year or whatever, and just slowly but surely it turned into this monstrosity. And then, oh wow, it has a swimming pool. Remember when like the cool thing to do was, oh yeah, go to a Diamondback game just so you can see a swimming pool. Man, times have changed over the last 20 years.
But it was, Tampa Bay was granted the franchise the same day as Arizona. And so there was this competitive deal about Arizona is going to do it better than Tampa Bay did. And when the franchise was granted, this was at the Breakers Resort, there were owners down there, and I don't want to misquote the names or who they were, because it was all a blur once it was announced. There was jubilation all over the place. But there were some owners that weren't happy about Arizona getting a franchise, you know, especially those that were out here in the West. If I remember correctly, even the Giants then weren't thrilled about the Diamondbacks and how Jerry handled himself. Jerry had a swagger and an air about him that rubbed baseball owners the wrong way. He was close friends with Jerry Reinsdorf, who many owners didn't like. And so he used his allies to help him push the deal through. If the ballpark didn't go in and we didn't get the franchise, okay, what would downtown Phoenix look like today? Would Cityscape be in existence? Probably not. Would the arena be doing the same sort of business it's doing? You can make the argument, well, it's just the arena down there. No, you know, baseball draws down 40,000 people, so they see the arena there too. With the high rises and the development that's gone on down there, now it's not happened as quickly as I thought. There's still nights, Eric, where you can go downtown and fire off a cannon and not hit anybody. We've never been able to capture that downtown of, say, San Francisco or Horton Plaza in San Diego or Colorado. We haven't been able to do that. And civically, are we better off having baseball here? Absolutely we are. Absolutely we are. The amount of sweat that went into that, I think sometimes people just take for granted. They just look at the team. But from 20 years ago when the franchise was granted to where it is today, downtown's much better. We have a World Series to show for it. I think it's interesting the organization has announced that on Thursdays they're going to wear the Diamondback original colors.
Good call.
It should be Thursday this year to next year, a major announcement. We have done our market research, and for 10 years we've tried this red, and we've heard from so many of you that we want to be the team that wears the uniform that we won the World Series in. We want to wear those colors, and let's just make this permanent. We were wrong. We screwed up. It happens. We want to be what the fans want us to be. It's very simple. If you're going to start doing it on Thursday home games, do it 7 days a week. I don't think that will happen. I think that there's ego in the way that will say, no, we're not going to go back that far.
And economically, I mean, bringing the Diamondbacks here allowed our state to host an all-star game in July, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
It also helped
World Baseball Classic.
World Baseball Classic. It also helped with how the Super Bowl process went. And as we learned last month, everyone that came out to cover the Super Bowl and be here for the Super Bowl raved about how great downtown Phoenix was and how well organized everything was. And although it rained for a couple of days, which is pretty rare, but it's just a good, just part of the process. There are a lot of layers besides just getting the Diamondbacks here that helped by establishing the franchise 20 years ago.
But I think it's worth taking 5 minutes to talk about it because this is a big day today. And the other thing I could talk about, and this is no disrespect to Josh Colemanter, okay? It's just not. When you are announcing your opening day starter, Josh Colemanter is not who comes to mind. It's usually Clayton Kershaw, and let's go from there. You know, let's go down the list. Justin Verlander back in the day. No disrespect to Josh Colemanter. The Diamondbacks do not have a number one or number two starter. In my mind, Josh Colemanter is a number three. Nice guy, like him a lot, glad he's on the rotation. Not dissing him, but here's the facts. They don't have that ace. They don't have that number one or number two guy.
Yeah, T-shirt fans on the East Coast have no idea who Josh Colemanter is. Yeah. Seam heads know who he is.
Sure.
But casual fans in the Midwest or back East, you say, hey, who's Josh Colemanter? You'll get a blank stare and probably no response.
But that goes back to finding those players. You know, I hope he wins 20 games. In my mind, your opening day starter is a guy that you look at and you say, he's going to win 20 for us this year. Same with your number two. He can win 18 to 20. Colemanter, is he going to be a 20-game winner? I don't see it. But that's what they have to deal with for right now. All right. On the other side, the iWatch is being announced today. That's good stuff, too. I have to get into that. Paula's on the other side. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist.
She's in Seattle, by the way.
For the women's tournament?
No, she's just in Seattle.
She's just in Seattle.
I guess she's on like a vacation or something.
What's her deal? She goes from Seattle to Vegas?
Yeah, she's going.
Is that
going
what
to.
the paper does now?
I mean, maybe she'll be at a Starbucks. Sorry, that was
Brandon,
really bad.
That was bad. Brandon Ashley and Caleb Tarzewski didn't get the 10-man first team or 5-man second team in the Pac-12. Tarzewski didn't get one vote. This is just coming out now on Twitter on the all-conference scene. That's pretty interesting. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussman.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussman.
I'll be seeing Paula on Wednesday for a couple of days in Vegas. We are both going to be at the MGM Grand covering the Pac-12 basketball tournament. Thanks for being with us. You're in Seattle, is that right?
I am. Yeah, yeah. I am. It's gorgeous. I was here. It's my mother-in-law's 80th birthday.
Very
and
nice.
So we came up here, and then I'm going to head right to the tournament, one of my favorite things to cover there in Vegas. So.
Are there better events than the Pac-12 tournament to be at?
The Final Four, maybe, but it's what's so remarkable about this event, and then I just give it pub to everybody I talk to, is because it's all confined in that MGM Grand, it's just fantastic. It's a great arena to watch a game. The athlete fans are walking all over around the hotel, although this year, actually, UA is not staying in the hotel because of, I think it got to be a little crazy for them after a while, people stopping up everywhere, you know, by the slot machines and things like that, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. It's not been a good day for U of A. I don't know if you heard or not up there. Stanley Johnson named the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, but T.J. McConnell did not win Player of the Year. Sean Miller did not win Coach of the Year. Hollis Jefferson did not win Defensive Player of the Year. Caleb Tarzewski and Brandon Ashley didn't make first or second team. So for a team that is supposed to be dominant and all about making a long run this year, I think we're going to hear the disrespect card coming quite often and frequently from the U of A folk.
Yeah, you know, I got to be honest, Brad. I didn't have a huge problem with some of the with a lot of the choices, and they were, you know, they're in a lot of the honors. You know, a lot. What they have three, I think, on the first team, and Stanley Johnson, Freshman of the Year, and all that kind of thing. So, I don't know. I've always been a huge Joseph Young fan, so the fact that he got that award and I think it's voted on by the coaches. Is that correct?
I think you're right.
Category. Yeah. So I don't know why. I think they may play that
yes,
card,
it is.
But I honestly
it is.
I don't have a huge. It is. Okay. I don't have any problem with how it came down.
So I think ASU actually has a path here at the tournament. I mean, USC is not good. They beat UCLA. I'm not saying that they've got it all figured out. I think they played better. I was at their game Saturday against Cal, and they were not good at all to start out with, and they finished strong. But I do think that there's a path here for them.
For ASU?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I don't think it's going to be easy. I wouldn't even vote predict it happening, but they have a shot, which is something much more than I've said recently. One, they're playing good basketball for the most part right now, and they beat the next two teams they'd be facing, USC already and UCLA, and then Arizona. You know, they win, which I think they will, their first game, it'd be Arizona. These are three teams that they've already defeated this season. So at the very least, they have the confidence to know that they're not overmatched if they prepare properly and they play hard and all those things.
News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin with a couple of thoughts here on sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we will see Paula later in the week. She will be covering the Pac-12 tournament along with Doug Haller for AZ Central Sports. On the Cardinals front of things, so Sean Witherspoon comes in at linebacker. He's supposed to sign tomorrow. I think the bigger story today is Alex Okafor being arrested, charged with a disturbance, the off-the-field stuff I know you can't control. And then there's, it sounds like DeMarco Murray and Jacksonville are negotiating, so Adrian Peterson, I think they've got a shot on Peterson, Paula.
I do too, Brad. Based on the fact, I think that it sounds like this is one of the teams that Peterson said he'd like to play for. I think that has a lot to do with Bruce Arians and the direction that the Cardinals are. And, you know, and I've written about it. It will take me a while to sort of get past the fact of, and you never get past it, but you have to sort of move on with Peterson. But all I hope is if they decide, if the opportunity comes, they decide to sign him, they do their due diligence first. And they look and see, one, that he's been receiving some kind of therapy for his issue. Two, that he acknowledges what he did and understands that. I mean, I think those are big things. The NFL has great resources as far as investigating guys' background, researching what they're doing. So I hope the Cardinals use all those tools before they decide to sign him. And if they get positive responses from all that, I'm okay with Adrian Peterson signing. I just want to make sure the Cardinals do their due diligence.
Okay, am I reading too much between the lines? You and I were both sitting there Thursday with Carson Palmer when he said he's really excited about what the Cardinals were going to do next week, meaning this week in free agency, that he knows what's coming, and the fact that he admitted he gave money back.
Right. Yeah, no, I had that same reaction. You're sitting right by me at that press conference. Everybody kind of went, what's that about it? I don't think it was just a blanket statement. It kind of sounded like to me he had been privy to conversations, and he felt optimistic. And that optimism I know had a lot to do with how he was feeling. But he also seemed to be in a really good place with the direction this organization was going.
I'm still one of those that thinks he's one hit away and that he's brittle, but I want him behind my center. If I've got a shot here to win, and with what's happened to the 49ers in the last 24 hours, Patrick Willis retiring, Frank Gore going to the Eagles, it seems like they've now become a transition team, a team where the window is closing, so to speak. And if Kaepernick is, in fact, available to be traded, that's out there too today. The Cardinals are in a space where there's quite a bit of positive momentum if they capitalize on it here in free agency. If they don't get Adrian Peterson or a running back, then it's got to be their first-round pick for running back, I would think.
I would think so, too. And the whole Palmer situation, and we've talked about it, I realize he is. I mean, obviously he's a hit away from returning to the sidelines, and he's a little bit older. But I also hold true to the fact that, I think he knows the system so well now. I think he's very excited that Larry Fitzgerald is back. I think there's a comfort level with him that he could have a great season this year. And, all franchises, with the exception, again, maybe like a New England Patriots, for the most part, they go through these waves. If you have success, then you have to rebuild a little bit, and then you have success again. And I think they're on that upswing and near the top of that, where they need to really try to win it all this year, next year, because that window will probably close again in a little bit. So, I think, Peterson, if that is a possibility, would be a huge thing for this franchise. And I think a healthy Carson Palmer, while people still love to dog him, I think where he is now in his career, he could give a great contribution to the Cardinals.
If Michael Bidwell, because I have to throw Michael in on this, if Michael is able to, along with Keim and Arians, work a deal out to get Adrian Peterson here. This is much different than Emmitt Smith. This is completely different. Emmitt
of
Smith
course.
Was just trying to roll some yards up. He was on the scrap heap. And I never felt that Emmitt liked being a part of the Arizona Cardinals. I just felt he was here to pad stats and get a check. Adrian Peterson would be coming here with plenty to prove. And I think a fresher back to having a year off. There is that question mark. You take a year off. Is your body react differently? And when you come back, you're not nearly the same player. I think that's very fair to wonder. But this would be as big a move as the organization has made. I don't know when you can go back on somebody offensively. Warner wasn't a big deal when they brought him here. He was on the scrap heap in New York.
And he didn't even beat out Matt Leinart for
right.
a while, you know?
Right.
You're right. If people were not as excited about that one as they probably would be about this one. Yeah, I'm really curious to see how this goes. And also, and we've talked about it, Brad, with Michael Bidwell's role with the NFL as far as the committee that's overseeing, how the league handles issues like personal conduct, domestic violence, things like that. I mean, he's in a sensitive place. And I think the key for him, for the organization, for Adrian Peterson is transparency. Get in front of the story, address it, and go from there. But I think this would be a huge pickup if all those things work out. And the whole thing about Peterson not playing, I've heard both sides of the argument that he may not be the same player, or his body may be rested, and he's maybe a year younger in playing years than people look at him. So it's going to be interesting to see develop.
Here's the thing on the off-the-field part with Adrian Peterson. I was with a couple of business people here in town and that spent a lot of money. in the last few weeks. And they talk about Adrian Peterson and say, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that will say, I remember when my mom took a switch off the tree, okay? Mm-hmm. And there was not social media, and there you could not see the picture, and that he went over the line in disciplining the child, way over the line. But we all make mistakes as parents. This is a different sort of deal than somebody who's coming off of whatever off the field you want to throw in there, drug issue or spousal abuse or something. Yeah, it was a child, and I've got four kids. But I think that there's a relatability issue in disciplining a child, that he went way over the line, he's found his way back, and that people would be more accepting of him than most believe that they would. Do you buy into that?
You know, I think a lot of it will be determined by what he projects if he comes here and how he discusses the issue. I think this is a very forgiving country for the most part. I think people want to forgive, and I think if you project true, admittance of what you did wrong, discuss why you did it. I get into this argument with people, and I know some people don't want to even address it, but the fact that that's how he grew up, I'm sorry, but to me, you have to discuss that when you're discussing this topic. It doesn't excuse it, because I'm with you, Brad. What he did crossed the line like no line.
Sure.
But I don't think you can ignore his childhood and what he knew, and we all are, you know, people of our circumstances. We are shaped by how we were brought up, and you get older and you're supposed to know better, but sometimes it doesn't happen. So, you know, I'm frankly taking that into account too, and I know a lot of people don't like to discuss it that way, but it's a true topic for me.
And then there's people that say, I don't care, shut up, move on. He can run the football, he can score touchdowns, it's all that matters to me. You know, there's that side of it too, and I'm with you on that. I think that's I'm not going to put my head in the sand on this one. Lastly, so tonight, Golden State is here to play the Suns tonight, and I've dubbed them AKA Suns West with Rick Welts and Steve Kerr and Alvin Gentry. And, you know, they've turned that franchise into what the Suns used to be, up and down the court, a lot of fun, the place to be, a lot of buzz. Rick has done a terrific job up there. The day that the Suns couldn't pull off the Steph Curry, Amari Stoudemire deal, and you were there around the draft then, and you know this story well, I think that's the day that the pivot on the Suns happened, where they went into the ditch long term, because Curry was going to be with Nash, and Amari's bad knees were going to be out of here, and they were going to get something for him. You point to that day moving forward and all the mistakes that the Suns have made. I think having Golden State here tonight, Paul, is the team you look at and say, that's what the Suns aspire to be now. And it used to be the reversal. It used to be the other way around.
Yeah, and it's kind of depressing, I'm sure, for Suns fans to hear that. I hadn't really thought about the Curry thing in a while, but just if you think how different this franchise would look, and even the people in management you talk about, when you talk about Gentry and you talk about Kerr, and who is the third one you just mentioned?
Rick Welts.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing about those are all guys that knew basketball, but also are so respected among media. They're also accessible and approachable kind of people. And it shows you can kind of succeed with decent people if you put them in the right positions and all that. So there's a lot of parts of this equation where you go, oh man, you know, what could this franchise have become? And it's a great point about Curry. I mean, how different would this franchise be right now?
I think he's the MVP to a point. And then I look at what Russell Westbrook has done. Like this weekend, Russell Westbrook did something that hasn't been done in the league since Magic Johnson. You know, and it's like, come on, he's crazy. And then there's Harden. And then there's LeBron. There's four MVPs this year. But it'll be fun to see Curry tonight. Lastly, so today is the 20-year anniversary of the Diamondbacks franchise being granted. We did the show down at the Breakers Resort in West Palm Beach. I remember Jerry coming over, putting on the headphones. I said, how's it going? Not good. I don't think we're going to get this done. They raised the price tag on the fee to get the team in north of $200 million. Do you remember that time and period? And what do you, if you were to put a bow on 20 years, what's the baseball franchise meant to Arizona?
Oh my gosh. I mean, when I think of this franchise in Arizona, I think of the World Series. I mean, there's franchises that have never had that, you know, and to get it when it was so young at an emotional time in this country, being at that game 7, and, you know, I remember the clock striking, it was 9, 9:11 p.m. on the scoreboard, and everything was starting to unfold at that point. That to me is when I think of the Diamondbacks for all their ups and downs, and they started, you know, I think they had winning seasons 5 of their first 6 years, you know, to the struggles they had after that. I still, to me, the defining moment of this franchise is that World Series, just because there are older franchises who have never seen that.
20 years ago today. And
wow.
And then there's the Diamondbacks announcing last Thursday that every home Thursday game this year, they're going to wear the Diamondback purple and teal colors, which will bring me to this point. I don't know about your circles. My circles are, there's fans that have said to me, I've never followed them since they went to the red uniforms. And when the ownership and Jeff Morad decided to paint everything over and turn it into red, I still believe the organization made a tremendous fumble. You don't just forget about the team that won the World Series and the colors that they wear. I don't talk about uniforms much. You just did something on this a couple weeks ago. They still at some point need to stand up at a podium and say, we're changing the colors back permanently to these colors. Do you agree or disagree on that?
Well, I don't know now how much a difference it would make, but I do agree with you that when they changed it, it was dumb, because there are such fond memories of this organization, of it, you know. The purple symbolized a time when things were going really well, and it was a positive vibe, and it was like a big, you know, middle finger when they changed colors. I mean, that's kind of what I thought when they did that, and I found it really strange. And so I don't know if you can go back now. I don't know how people would react to that. I think maybe we'll know on home Thursday games how people react to that, if we see people buying the, you know, the throwbacks and things like that. But yeah, big mistake at the time, because you were dismissing a really important era of sports in this community, as short as it was.
I'll see you you're coming in Wednesday, right?
Tuesday night, actually, but late. So probably see you Wednesday.
See you Wednesday in Vegas. Stay well. Thanks.
All right. Sounds good.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Later this week, she will be covering the Pac-12 tournament. I'll be covering the Pac-12 tournament, doing the show every day from the MGM Grand. Looking forward to that. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all things around the college basketball front. And, of course, plenty of content that we'll put up from Vegas on sports360az.com around the tournament. But right here in the Valley with Jared Cohen and Eric Sorensen and Jordan Hamm, our staff that gets to a lot of places, a lot of things on the college football, college basketball front, high school and pros, all going on around the Valley as well. Sports360az.com. Back with more after this timeout. It's a great Monday. This segment of the show brought to you by good people at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. They have been a big part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. I swung by there this last week, sat with General Manager Tim Hovick in his office and said, how are things going? What's new? And we visited about a whole bunch of things. And while we're sitting there, he says, oh, yeah, I want to get you in another vehicle. So I'm driving a hybrid now, and I love driving the Ford Fusion Hybrid. This morning, from my commute, all right, I pulled in the parking lot, and it'll show you on the hybrid the miles that you drove and the gas. I got 46.3 miles per gallon. 46.3 on 1 gallon of gas. Because I went the limit, I drove comfortably. I've got the Sync Command system in the Fusion Hybrid, the 2015. Guys, if you're on the road a lot and you see that you're pumping gas is going back up again. It's like $2.50 a gallon out where I'm at. Why are you doing that? I mean, you're just throwing money away. And in the hybrid, the Fusion Hybrid, I've got plenty of headroom, legroom. Took my wife out the other night. She's like, this car is a sweet-looking ride. Tuxedo black. It's awesome. The Fusion Hybrid makes a lot of sense for me from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. And, of course, Santan Ford, Tim Hovick said, go up to the Pac-12 tournament. We're taking care of it. They're the sponsor of the Pac-12 tournament. We appreciate their partnership. And we've been doing it for 3 years, and we look to expand it even more than that. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I think today, if you're a Cardinal fan, we just talked about so many things, but the overriding story is the implosion of the 49ers today. Or is it just transition? You know, there's going to be a window of opportunity. I talk about windows. I think the Cardinals are in a window of opportunity right now. They're not in a rebuilding window. This is the time where your quarterback's coming to the end. your star receiver is no longer really the star receiver, but you're paying him like one, right? Within the division, Seattle's going through a little bit of a transition, okay? Maxwell leaves, Lynch's situation, locker room dynamic. How does that all play together? The 49ers, they change their coach. Jim Harbaugh leaves. They elevate from within. They have a general manager who feels like he knows it all. And we hear about how coach is going to get these guys motivated. And then what happens? Frank Gore says, well, I'm going to Philadelphia. I'm out of here. See you later. Michael Crabtree, I'm thinking about going to Seattle. Patrick Willis, I'm done. I'm not going to play. Colin Kaepernick, possibly on the trade block. So it seems to me the window in San Francisco. I wonder how Darnell Dockett's feeling today. By the way, I'm here and I got Patrick Willis and Justin Smith and not necessarily.
It's funny because I just looked down on my timeline on Twitter.
Yeah.
Three of the trending topics on Twitter right now, Patrick Willis, Justin Smith, Kaepernick, as we speak.
Yeah. Justin Smith is going to retire. So Jim Tom Sula comes in, and the players are going to love playing for Jim Tom Sula. I don't know. You just had Justin Smith and Patrick Willis say, we're not really love it. You had an interest in it, and we don't rehearse much, but I told Eric what I'm thinking about today, and he said, you think the new trend is these guys getting out when they're 30?
Yeah, I do. Just because that is the way we always heard about it, Brad, with running backs. Oh, when running backs hit that 30-year age mark, they start to wear down, they break down. Well, now running backs are breaking down even earlier than age 30. And a lot of these players that play other positions are seeing the post-career concussion effects and the guys that played back in the 80s and early 90s that can barely walk and they should be, you know, just enjoying life as a retired NFL player. These guys are saying, well, let's see, I got paid. I made it to the pinnacle. I had a good NFL career, or in some cases a great NFL career, or even an average NFL career. But the bottom line is they got paid, they have their family, they have their health, it's time to go.
I saw Levi Brown yesterday. So, and a lot of you are not big on Levi Brown. And did he underperform? Absolutely did.
Only fitting that Levi Brown's name would come up on a day where Adrian Peterson's name is being bantered around the Cardinals.
Sure, so. Where they should have taken Adrian to begin with. But Levi's just turned 30, and he had his two little daughters with him. They're climbing all over him. And he's going to move. He's moving here in the next few months. And he's got his health. He's got his money.
Perfect
he's got
example,
his degree
right there.
From Penn State.
Yep.
You know, it's why do I want to have my body? He said, my body feels good. I don't hurt. I don't ache. You can insert your joke here. You know, that's pretty simple to do. But on a human side of things, you look at guys and say, you know, why do you keep doing this? You know, you're one big hit away. If you're Patrick Willis, if you're Justin Smith, you know, Jim Tom Sula was the position coach for Patrick Willis, if you think about it, or Justin Smith, rather, on the defensive line. And supposedly, Justin Smith loved playing for him or would love to play for him as a head coach. Yet, a couple of months after Jim Tom Sula's named the head coach, it's...
Maybe not.
You know, I don't know.
And locally, there's no bigger name that went through all this in recent years than Kurt Warner. I mean, the bounty gate went down, and he's like, you know what? This is great, but this is not the end-all of end-alls. I have more important things to do with my life than play football.
Eric, Patrick Willis had $20 million for the next two seasons, and he walked away from it.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
I don't need the $20 million. You know, Frank Gore is a team leader in San Francisco, and he's leaving. Colin Kaepernick is either being shopped or teams are checking in to see if he wants to be. Michael Crabtree's looking around. You know, Anquan Boldin's probably in his final season, right? You know, if you think about where Anquan is, Joe Staley's been one of their solid guys on the defense, on the offensive line. Vernon Davis, you know, Navarro Bowman missed the season. So you go right down the line of guys and you say, what's the dynamic within the locker room of the San Francisco 49ers? And yeah, I'm based here in Arizona. I'm all about Arizona, but you look at the NFC West and the Cardinals window is clearly right now. So what do they do on the Peterson front? I'm not saying they have to have Adrian Peterson, but you can't sell to the fans that Andre Ellington and Stephon Taylor are going to be the guys. You know, you can't sell that. And I don't think you can sell within the locker room. You know, I talked to a couple defensive guys here in the offseason who said, all we needed was a running game and we would have beat Carolina. Well, I think special teams weren't special either. Just not the quarterback play. But wow, what a day in San Francisco. Just imploding, it looks like. And again, Darnell Dockett's getting his money, but he's got to be looking around and saying, wait a second, I thought I signed up to be with these guys. WTF. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussman.